Acts 18. You know, we've heard a lot of really great teaching so far, haven't we?
Yes.
Some of the great things we heard in 1 Thessalonians. And 2 Thessalonians was also written to the church at Thessalonica, but it was designed to be read to all the churches. It was designed to be first read in Thessalonica, and then they would pass it around to the other churches. 2 Thessalonians is a follow-up epistle to 1 Thessalonians. So it was written between 52 and 54 AD, written by Paul when he was at Corinth, authored by God. They're written by Paul. Acts 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 11. Brian, would you read that?
And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them.
That's when Paul and Silas and Timothy were there in Corinth. And during that time, he wrote 1 Thessalonians. And then there was a period of time later when he wrote 2 Thessalonians. So, it's important to realize that when we're reading 2 Thessalonians, we have to remember it in light of 1 Thessalonians. Because everybody that's hearing this in 2 Thessalonians has already heard 1 Thessalonians. It's important that we look at this in context. Biblically speaking, context is a very important thing, just like it is in anything else. Have you ever heard someone says something, and then on the news, you hear this like 3-second soundbite, and they say something like, what? How do they dare they say that? But then, maybe you hear the whole speech or the whole context of what they're saying, and then you say, oh, now wait a minute. Now I understand what they mean. I thought something else just hearing this little bit, but then when I hear the whole thing, then it makes more sense and I understand what's going on. God's word is the same way. We need to understand context in two ways. First of all, the immediate context, the verses that are right close to that verse, okay? You read maybe the chapter ahead or something, but right in that section that we're reading, wherever you're reading, what are we talking about? Who are we talking to? Who are we talking about? What are we talking about? It's important to keep that mentally when we read. Then there's a remoter context. In other words, what book am I reading? Is this in the Old Testament? Is this in the New Testament? Who is this addressed to? Okay? So that we understand a little bit more about the general place where it fits, because there's things that will be assumed that we understand. Okay? Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians. We're getting closer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're just going to look at this really quickly. One of the main focuses of 1 Thessalonians is our walk in the hope with a view to the return of Jesus Christ. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, excuse me, verse 16, speaking of that hope, and what actually happens in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, after that, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." One of the main focuses in 1 Thessalonians dealt with that hope, which, yep, we're still here. Hasn't happened yet. I was just checking, okay? So, one of the things that we're going to see in 2 Thessalonians is that return we talked about here, where Jesus Christ comes for his saints, there's a second part to that, where he comes with his believers. And that second part is something that we need to be patient for. And we'll see in 2 Thessalonians, one of the focuses is our walk in patience of that second part of that second coming. So now, with that introduction, we can go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1. That's a good place to start. "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus," which is Paul and Silas and Timothy, "unto the church of the" who? Thessalonians. So this, of course, is also addressed to the Thessalonians. And remember, they've already heard 1 Thessalonians. unto the church of Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting that one of the first things mentioned here is grace and peace. In all of the church epistles, from Romans through Thessalonians, they all begin with grace and peace, and they all end with grace. And the reason is because grace is the whole reason we're here. It's the whole underlying reason that any of this could be true, whether the one body, the hope, being born again, Jesus Christ coming back, it's all by grace. A neat thing to do might be someday to take your Bible and start in Romans and look at the beginning of Romans, the first chapter and the first few verses, and start to read down till you see grace and peace. And write that down. And then go to the end of Romans, and you'll see, as you're looking at those last verses, that it ends in grace. And you can do that with every single one of the church epistles. They all begin with grace and peace, and they end in grace. Now, it's also interesting here, if you look in verse 1, it says, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? Where it says, in God our Father. And then in verse 2, it says, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference between in and from. And there's a reason why those two words are used. God, every word that God uses in the word is there for a reason. God just doesn't put filler stuff in, you know. Gee, I couldn't think of anything to say, so I'll throw a commercial in here, you know. That's not the way it works, okay? It's in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ because God is our Father, right? God is our Father, right?
Yes.
Is this thing on? Okay, good, okay. God is our Father, so we are in Him. Since we're in Him and in that family, everything we get has to be from Him. You see it? That's why God, it's in God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ and from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See that? Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm.
It also says grace and peace. It's interesting because those two go together. People do a lot of things today to try to get peaceful, to try to get peaceful. You know, they'll go on a vacation or I'll get a special CD of water running or a waterfall. And I'm peaceful till I have to go to the bathroom. But, you know, I need to be peaceful. Everything around me is hard. I need to get to be peaceful. Yet here, God says we have peace because it's grace. He just gave it to us. See, if we have peace because there's no, everything we get is by grace. So there's no fighting. There's no competition. There's no, let me get mine before you get yours. It's all grace anyway. Grace is when it's unmerited favor, okay? Now, what does that mean? What it really means is grace is when you get good stuff that you don't deserve, you didn't earn, but you get it anyway, okay? Now, say I work this week, and at the end of the week, I get a paycheck. It's kind of a novel thing. Is that grace?
No.
No. Why? Because I worked for it. I have an agreement with my boss. I'll do this work for an entire week, and at the end of that week, you pay me so much. That's not grace. Now, if my boss decided, gee, I'm going to give you two paychecks this week, that second one would be grace. Why? I just wanted to. I like you. I think you're a good guy. That hasn't happened. So, okay, but hey, that would be grace, right? Grace is when you get good stuff that you don't earn, you don't necessarily deserve it, but you get it anyway, just because the giver loves us and wants to give it to us. Do we hear any of that in manifestations today? What a coincidence, right? Hey, that's it, right? So grace and peace is something that's the very first thing mentioned in all of the church epistles, and once again here in 2 Thessalonians. So, we have grace, we have peace. Verse 3. This is Paul, Silas. Silvanus is a long word for Silas, a long version of it. Paul, Silas, and Timothy says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you, of you all, toward each other aboundeth. Now, let's look at this. The word bound there A better translation of that would be, we are obliged. We are obliged. We're obligated to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, or as it is adequate, as it's fitting, as it's right. We'd say it's right on. Maybe I'd say that. Nobody else would. But because why? Why were they obligated to pray to these people? Because your believing grows exceedingly. Wait a minute. Your believing's growing exceedingly? Put your finger here. Go back to 1 Thessalonians. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And you became, this is talking to the same group of people, right? Talking to them earlier. Says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now, if you're an example, you're at the top of your game, aren't you? If you're an example, here's the thing. Is Michael Phelps a good example of swimming? Maybe not in other areas, but hey, they're in swimming. Hey, why? Because he's the Olympic gold medalist for this year, or last year, or whatever it was. But the point is, if you're an example, you're up at the top. And yet here, in 1 Thessalonians, they were called examples. In 2 Thessalonians, what does it say? Let's read that verse again. We're obligated to thank God always for you, brethren, as it's right, because your believing grows exceedingly. Well, how could it grow if they were already examples? Because it's God's word. Because it's God's word. Look, if I took math in third grade and I learned how to add numbers, you either pretty much learn that or you don't, right? Mm-hmm. And so after four or five attempts, I figured out that 3 + 3 is 7 or somewhere around there. But hey, you either learned it or you didn't, right? And once you learned it, you've learned it. And you say, yeah, I can add numbers, I can add big numbers, I can add little numbers, that's it. This isn't that way. This is God's word. Isaiah 55:11 says, God's word is higher than our, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways are higher than our ways. So even though they were examples, they could still grow in believing, couldn't they? They could still grow. And not only could they did. They did. If maybe this is the first time I've looked at a Bible and somebody shows you a verse and shows you Romans 10:9-10, you get born again and then you do a retemering, Jesus wept. That's a good first one, you know, it's easy. I can handle that. But hey, you get into that, then can you still grow? Sure. Suppose I've read the whole Bible through twice, and I've been going to fellowship for a couple of years. I got this knocked, right? I got this licked. I'm set. I'm at the top. No, there's always more to grow, isn't there? There's always more to grow. And look at this. That's not the only place they grew. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, they were praying for him because your believing grows exceedingly, and the love of you all towards each other aboundeth, or it's increasing. Their love's increasing. They were asked to do this also in 1 Thessalonians. Put your finger here, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. Can't be too many pages away, unless you got really big print in your Bible. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another, and to all men, even towards you. That they were and prayed that they would increase in love, and here in 2 Thessalonians, they did. So they could increase in that too, couldn't they? And it says they were to love just the people that were nice to them, right? Well, that could have been a very select group. Remember, we've seen in 1 Thessalonians, this wasn't exactly a everybody believes in it town, right? There were some people moved with envy, right? Mm-hmm. Weren't exactly all believers. There was some pressure going on. Yet these people still grew in love anyway. They could grow in love even though there was pressure. It's kind of easy to love somebody that loves you back, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's easy. Or maybe love somebody that kind of likes you, or they might. You know, it's Valentine's Day, so we can talk about this, right? Hey, you know, somebody's like, oh, I have a crush on this girl. It's Jill, right? Okay, so, but, you know, it's easy to love somebody who loves you back. How about somebody that treats you mean? Somebody that's mean to you, or somebody that did something wrong to you, somebody that ripped you off. Is it easy to love them? But what does the word say to do? So maybe we have some growing to do, right? So, but we can grow into it. It's available to do that. It's available to grow. You know, a good thing might be to do to, after this series and stuff, to sink and say, where can I grow some more in believing? Now, we spent so many, what, 3 weeks in Thessalonians, okay, and then the day in the Word. Do you think we covered everything there is to cover in Thessalonians? It's completely done. Y'all have a doctorate in Thessalonians? Mm-hmm. No. Hey, there's a lot more, isn't there? Could you work it more? Is there more in the Bible? Hey, could I believe more of what I know in the Bible? Mm-hmm. It'd be a great thing to sit down sometime and think about and say, where would I like to grow? Maybe I'd like to grow in the area of believing. You know, maybe I'd like to grow more in the area of studying the Bible, or grow more in the area of speaking the word, or, you know, tithing, or operating other principles in the word. You know, it's great. I can grow in that. It's available to grow. No matter how much you've learned or how much you still need to learn, it's always available to grow. Growth takes time, doesn't it? Okay? So, back to 2 Thessalonians verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. We are obligated to thank God always for you, brethren. Every time they thought of him, they prayed for him. As it is adequate, it's right, it's fitting, it's right on. Because that your believing grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other is increasing. Verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Now, first of all, let's take a look at what it doesn't say. Sometimes it's interesting to look at something and say, what does this not say? It doesn't say, we glory in the fact that you've got a lot of persecutions and tribulations. That wasn't it, right? It's not a show of excellence that people have tribulation. Tribulation means affliction, okay? And persecution. What it does say is, it doesn't say we're pleased you're having persecutions and afflictions, but when they come, you flip out, right? When they come, you just crush. No, you're patient and you endure. The word endure means to stand up under pressure, okay? To stand up under pressure. And the ability to do that, it takes a little time. I have a little visual aid here. Here's my friend here. Look at that. Nice scallion, right? Pretty good. Looks pretty green, right? But today, he's a little down today. He's a little down. Why is he down? Well, you know what? Instead of being reading the word, he's been watching the news. And instead of believing what the believers have told him, he's been listening to some guys at work that are really negative. Because they're afraid they're going to lose their jobs and the stock market's down. And they've got all this negative information that they've been feeding them. And he just keeps taking it in and taking it in and taking it in. Instead of going to the word and believing the word. So then a little pressure comes, and what happens? Ah, I'm uprooted. How much root do I have? Not much. Looks good on the outside, but not much root, right? It takes time to grow roots, doesn't it? It takes time to grow roots. And roots are what keep, we just had some wind here last couple of weeks, or like a couple days, right? You see any trees blown over? If you saw a tree blown over, it's because of one of two reasons. Either it was diseased in the trunk of the tree and it was, you know, all eaten out and weak, or there weren't good roots. The roots weren't good. Because there's a lot of trees that didn't get blown over, right? Same wind. Sometimes the bigger trees get blown over, the smaller ones stay. You know why? Because you can't see the roots. The roots are what hold it in. The roots are what hold it in. We need to root ourselves in the word by keeping our heads looking at the word. Boy, I made a real mess here. But we keep our heads looking at the word. We keep our heads in the word. You know, it's a lot easier to be patient and to endure when you've got your head in the Word and when you're looking at the hope. And that's why this is very important here. So we need to grow in the Word. We need to develop some patience. The word glory there, go back to verse 4. The word glory there means to boast. To boast. What were they boasting in? Were they boasting in these people's ability to give money? No. Were they boasting in themselves? Oh, we're Paul, Silas, and Timothy, man. We're cool. We're like the three musketeers. No, they weren't. What were they boasting in? The believers. Now remember, they were praying for them already, right? And then they were boasting in the believers' patience and their endurance. Patience takes time. It takes time to develop patience. I prayed the other day for patience and said, Lord, I need more patience. And I need it now! You know, so it didn't work. It didn't work. Hey, suppose I wanted to be a weightlifter. My boss in Wisconsin is a weightlifter. And he can pick up over 500 pounds. He's got really big arms. So suppose I said, gee, I want to learn that, right? So what do? Do I go to the weight club and get that 500-pound weight? What happens? Nothing, right? My back, right? Hey, I can't do that, right? So maybe I start out with this. This is a 1-pound weight. I can do this. I can do this. Now, suppose, okay, I got a long way to go to get to 500. But suppose I start with this, right? Now, if I do this a lot, then it gets easier, right? Maybe it's pretty easy now. So then I move up to a bigger weight, maybe 5 pounds, 10 pounds. Then one day I tried 25. I'm like, oh, I can barely do this. Oh. And then I put it down. But if I keep lifting these smaller weights, then what happens? Then I go back to this one and I go, hey, that's not so bad. I'm going to put this down that way before I hurt myself. Hey, so I start picking up that weight and then maybe it's not so hard to do. Maybe it's a little easier. And the more I repeatedly lift the weights, the more weight I can lift. The more we keep our minds in the Word, the more we can be patient. And then when some pressure comes, something that maybe I used to flip out at, I'm like, well, you know, that doesn't seem so bad. Because I'm going to use a Steve-ism here. Because
he's coming back.
There you go. I owe Steve 50 cents now for the royalties on that. So it's interesting to look at here. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were boasting in these people. They prayed for them always, and they were boasting in their ability to continue to grow in patience and endurance. Kind of a neat example, isn't it? You know, sometimes people talk about other people, don't they? What do they usually talk about? What's wrong with him, right? Oh, that Jim, he's such a nut. He doesn't do this right, and he doesn't do that right. You know, but instead of talking about people's shortcomings, we can talk about the Word. A great man once said, small minds talk about people. Average minds talk about events. Great minds talk about God's Word. Kind of a neat thing. So it's a great example there. Keep your finger here and go to Philippians. Take a look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice or boast in ourselves because we're really smart. Oh, we rejoice or boast in ourselves because we have lots of money. We drive really fine cars. And man, we've got the clothes to match. No, what did they rejoice? What did they boast in? Christ Jesus. And have some confidence in the flesh. If I could lift 500 pounds, I'd have confidence in the flesh. No. Have how much confidence in the flesh?
No.
No? Not even a little? Just a little teeny? No. Why? Because it's all by grace. It's not what I do, it's what he did. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. So see that? So it's a great example of three men who boasted in other people's patience and believing. They prayed for them that they grow, and then when they grew, they boasted about it, and they gave the glory to God. An interesting example there. So, for 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. So that we ourselves glory or boast in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure Verse 5 says, which, or it is, a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Verse 6, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, let's take a look at these three verses here. Sometimes things don't go the way we want them to go, right? Sometimes just things happen. So what do we do? Look at verse 6. We're going to read it very carefully. Read it with me here, okay? Verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God for you to recompense tribulation to... What? Are you sure? Yeah. But, you know, there were those guys last week, and man, they just really... I got to get them back. Man, I got to get them. What does the word say? It is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It is the righteous judgment of God to repay affliction to them that repay you. You notice the words for you to do it, or you to get involved, or you to help, are not in those verses. It's not there. Whose job is that? Oh, give it away. Whose job is it to pay back the affliction?
God.
Don't try to do his job. We're not qualified, and we don't have the time. We do not have time to try to pay back people when they give us affliction. They give us problems, okay? And that'll happen. They give us some pressure, right? It happens. People do that, right? See, I have two choices. I can either stop what I'm doing, stop my growing the word, stop thinking the word, and go be derailed by what am I going to do to them, or I can just say, you know what? God's going to take care of this. I'll let him do it, and I'm just going to move on. Look. We know Christ is coming back, right? But we don't know when. Now, just for a moment, just imagine, suppose, and I know you don't know this, but suppose we knew he's coming back in 5 minutes. Suppose you knew he's coming back in 5 minutes. And somebody comes up to you and they're like, rawr, 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 rawr. You're like, oh, yeah. You're like, 4 minutes and 55 seconds. Right? Hey, so what? So what? What's the worst thing that could happen to some, you know, that Christ coming back couldn't take care of? Well, the worst thing to happen, I guess you could die. And it says the dead in Christ rise first. So that's no great shakes. I mean, not that I'm looking forward to dying, but hey, if he comes back right now or in the next 2 minutes, I bet I'll make it. You know, right? So that's the hope. Why derail myself with something else? You know, you can make plans. You can make long-term plans. You can do all this stuff. But why not just live each minute as if it's the hope? Because how do you know he's not coming back in 5 minutes? You don't. You don't. He could come back at any time. And if we live every moment, he could come back now. And we live thinking, Steve, here's another 50 cents.
He's coming back.
If we're thinking that, if we're making our long-term plans, if it works great. If it doesn't, God's going to take care of it anyway. So why get all messed up with this? So, it's a righteous thing. Now, verse 7 starts with an and. And ties things together. So, we can read through verse 6 and verse 7. It's all part of the same thought. Just because there's a verse in there doesn't mean you got to stop. Okay? Seeing it's a righteous thing. It's God's just judgment with God to pay back or to repay affliction to them that afflict you. And to you who are afflicted, rest with us. God's got two paying back. One is the affliction for the people that afflict you. But the other is rest. When do we get rest? We get rest when Christ comes back for us. That's the first part of the second coming, right? Jesus Christ, remember, we just read it in 1 Thessalonians 4. Jesus Christ comes back, dead in Christ shall rise first, those of us alive remain, caught up together with him in the clouds. We read that, then we're at rest. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So at that point, what's the problem? There is no problem. There's no problem with anything. We're at rest. We are at rest. I don't know about you, but I like rest. I've grown to like rest a lot. Sometimes maybe a little too much. But we're at rest. Then, some period of time then, comes this other stuff. So God is going to repay rest to those of us that are afflicted first. Then he's going to repay affliction to those that afflicted us. When will that happen? when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. That's the second part. When he comes back with the saints, and a little butt-kicking is going to happen, right? So look at that. I mean, how comforting is that? That we've got rest. We've got rest. We don't have to go through this whole wrath thing. We already saw that. But we don't have to go through it because we're at rest. We're at rest. That's very comforting. It wouldn't be very comforting if it said, well, first this is tribulation. You think things are bad now? You just wait. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get really bad. Then finally it'll get better. Well, that's what a lot of people teach. How comforting is that? That's not comforting. That means badder things are coming. That's not it. This is rest is coming. That's comforting, isn't it? Okay? That's comforting. So when is that going to happen? Tomorrow? Doubt it. There's some period of time. Jesus Christ comes for his saints. We get gathered together. We're at rest. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Then, some period of time later, I don't know how long, we come back with him. Then it comes down on earth. Then there's this wrath. Okay? Take a look at verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So these that know not God and obey not the gospel, they get punished. What do they get punished with? Everlasting destruction. Now that doesn't mean every day they're getting destroyed for the rest of eternity. That's not what it means. Okay? Everlasting destruction from what? From the presence of the Lord. Remember, when we get gathered, we're in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord, right? These guys, so shall they never be with the Lord. That's what that means. They'll never be with them again. That's it. They're gone. That's it. Done. The end. Credits roll. That's it. Okay? So we get to be ever with the Lord. They will never be with the Lord. This is the wrath that it talks about in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, and 10. And it's the wrath that we're saved from. It's also called the day of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 5, 2. Put your finger here. Go to Isaiah. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. Verse 9. Jill, would you like to read verses 9 through 13?
And behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the cities thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger.
That's the wrath. That doesn't sound like something I want to buy tickets to, right? Okay. But you know something? We're not in that wrath. Because we're with the Lord. Now, we may have ringside seats, I don't know, but we're not in it. That's pretty comforting, because this does not sound like something I want to be in, right? It says, I'll make a man more precious than fine gold, even the golden wedge of Ophir. Now, did anybody bring their golden wedge of Ophir? Does anybody have a golden wedge of Ophir? Does anybody know what it is? No, I don't either. But whatever it is, it's pretty rare. And that's how rare a man's going to be, it says. This is really going to be a very significant thing. This is a big deal. And this is going to happen. But it happens after we get gathered. So it's kind of interesting. Back to Thessalonians. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. Back to 2 Thessalonians here. Okay? Chapter 1. It's kind of interesting. When you look at those verses, this happens when? Verse 10. You ready? Everybody there? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. When? When tells you when? Pretty good, huh? This research stuff's pretty easy. When tells you when? When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. The word when there should be the word after. After. If something's after, then something's before, right? See? Something's after, then something before. After he comes to be glorified in his saints in that day and to be admired in all them that believe. So, first we get gathered once again. It's kind of neat. Verses 7 and 10 both talk about the first part of Christ's coming. 8 and 9 are the second part of Christ's coming. See it? 7 and 10 both say, look, stuff's coming, but you guys are out of here first. You're out of here. You're with the Lord. Then 8 and 9 talk about this wrath that's to come. Let me read you the working translation of verses 9 and 10. 2 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. They, talking about the people that know not God and obey not the gospel, will be sentenced to eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his prevailing ability, verse 10, after he comes to be glorified in his holy or sanctified ones, that's us, and to be admired in that day by all those who have believed, for our witness to you was believed. See that? Pretty clearly lays it out, right? Now it's important that we stay on top of this because we're going to see something here in a minute. So, because of this, verse 11, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore, because of this, also, we pray once a year for you guys. We have a special day, we get together, everybody dresses up, and we have a big meeting. No, once a week we pray for you because on Sunday, that's when we do it. We pray what? There's a great example. I'd like to grow to the point where every time I thought of a believer, I prayed for him. That'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it? That'd be a great place to grow also, wouldn't it, in prayer? Wherefore, because of this also, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. It's our God. It's not a God. It's not some God somewhere that maybe someday we'll get to know. It's our God. It's personal. Would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of believing with power. Verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Hold it right there. Hold it right there. Verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Is Jesus Christ worthy of glory? Yeah. No question about that, right? No question. But as the commercial says, but wait, you get more. Keep reading. It says, and ye in him. We get glorified in him according to the what? The works of all the things that we did to try to earn it. The grace. There it is. According to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. If it stopped right after Jesus Christ getting glorified, that'd be great, wouldn't it? But it doesn't. We get glorified in him. That's grace. We sure didn't do anything to deserve it, but we get it anyway. It's grace. See that? Chapter 2. I'm going to take a little foray into chapter 2, and then we'll take a break, okay? Chapter 2, verse 1. Now. Now means what?
Now.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Now. Now we beseech you, brethren. We lovingly beg you, brethren. By the coming, or with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Now, when does that happen? Is that the first part of the coming? Is that before or after the wrath? Before, right? We've seen that very clear, right? We lovingly beg you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him. Verse 2, that you be not soon or hastily shaken in mind. Where are we shaken? In mind, not stirred either, shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, even as if it was from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, the day of Christ is talking about the Lord's day. We heard that earlier, right? The Lord's day is what, Saturday? Sunday? Third Thursday of every month? No. When is the Lord's day? It's when Christ comes back with his saints, then the wrath starts, right? That's it. Don't be shaken that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, how do we know that? Let's keep reading. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. This is pretty emphatic. Not word, not deed, not spirit, not letter, not nothing. Let no man deceive you by any means. When somebody gets deceived, you know what that means? To be deceived means they believe something that's not true. You convince them. You talk them into it. Oh, Colleen, you need to buy this pen. This is the most fantastic pen in the world. And if you buy this pen, you will be able to write books that will be bestsellers. And this pen is only $10,000, okay? It's just a pen, right? But if I talk to her long enough, maybe I can convince her of that. That's called deceiving. When you convince somebody, it's not just like, now that was silly. That's a silly illustration. It's obvious that's not going to happen. But how many times do people get deceived? Infomercial, right? But how many times do people get deceived? Remember in Thessalonica, there was some pressure, right? And here it says that let no man deceive you, that day shall not come, the day of the Lord's return with the saints, the day of the Lord, the wrath, except they're coming, falling away first. All right, what does falling away mean? Okay. Well, it could mean this, it could mean that. You talk to people, they're saying, oh, it means to leave the word, to go away from God, to go away from stuff. The Greek word for that is te apostasia. We get the word apostasy from it. Okay, where people turn away from the word. They turn away from this. The morals of the country are going down. Or this is going bad. That's going. People are going away from God. Wait a minute. What have we read in all of 1 Thessalonians? We just read in verses 7 and 10 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. What happens before the day of the Lord? We're out of here. The word falling away is better translated in departure. A departure. It's not people departing from the word. It's us departing from the world. We're out of here, right? How do we know that? Context. Context. We know it by context, okay? It's the departure. We're to be gathered together. We know that the Lord, day of the Lord's not going to happen. Don't let anybody deceive you because you're out of here first. So I'm here. Not talking to an empty room. Good. We're still here. It's not the day of wrath. But people want to say, oh, you know, it's the end times. They're coming and look, there's a war over here. Look in Revelation 20 and that's just like this other thing. Now, is Revelation 20 going to happen? Yeah. Not while we're here, it's not going to happen because we get gathered first. But people get all excited because they lose track of this. This was why they were told in Thessalonica to be patient and endure. People come up with some wacky ideas. But we know that the word says, yeah, there's affliction. Is God going to repay that? Yeah. So don't worry about it. Just keep growing. Just keep growing and doing it. And verse 3, let's read the rest of verse 3. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of what? Perdition. Perdition means destruction. Will then be revealed, the son of destruction, who does what? Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself among all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is what? Man. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Who do you think the son of perdition is? It's my next door neighbor. Believe me, this guy plays his stereo really loud. No. Hey, he's not going to be revealed till what? After we're gathered, and we're still here. So he's not going to be revealed. But at that point, this is what he's going to do. Okay? That's pretty heavy, but we're not going to be involved in that. Why? Because we get gathered first. Why do we get gathered first? God's grace. He just wanted to do it. It's kind of neat, isn't it? We're going to see a little bit more about that in our next session here, but just to see that it's grace and it's what God has set up for us. And here, these believers in Thessalonica were growing, but they were shown that they were not to get talked out. Don't get deceived. Don't get talked into something. Because all that wrath stuff is not going to come until we depart. Because that's the first part of the second coming. But the wrath will be there, but it's the second part. We're not there, okay?